keeping track of things. Pray for the folks in Vietnam if you have a prayer list. We just heard this morning that they're really cracking down on Christianity again in Vietnam. They're checking all the Zoom meetings. There will be no Zoom Christian meetings. They're cracking down on home Bible studies. There will be no home Bible studies. So the secret believers come again. So, but what we do know is when there's much persecution, the church flourishes. So just pray for those that are saved, that the Lord would just show them how and when, and that it would just bring increase there. So chapter 30. We'll go through more than one verse. Chapter 30, as we get in, this is what we have here is a Palestinian covenant, the sixth covenant that's come through. I had one for Noah, Abraham, all those, but this is called the Palestinian covenant, or the sixth covenant that God has given to the people of Israel, because we couldn't keep the first five, so we had to go to six. But the Lord says here, and it shall come to pass. So remember, Moses is still speaking. He's only got a couple of chapters left, and he's going to go home. And then Joshua is going to take over and lead them into the land. But he says to the people, and it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon you, the blessing and the curse. Remember chapter 28, we did the chapter of the blessings and the curses. And all that would happen if they left the things of the Lord. And what he's really saying here is you guys are going to leave the place of blessing. Isn't that sad? That the Lord already knows they're going to leave, and they're already telling him they're going to leave. But he says, the blessings and the curse which I have set before you, and you shall call them to mind among the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee. The Lord is going to take them away. They know that part of the curse was that they'd be driven out of the land that God had given them. That they wouldn't be led, they'd be driven. And that's what happens when we're not walking with the Lord. When we walk with Jesus, our good shepherd, he always leads. When we're against Jesus, we're driven by the things of the world, even the influence of the Lord. He drives us to a place where he can then speak to us and minister to us. And I'm thankful, because a lot of times I walk away and the Lord just drives me to a place where I have to cry out to him, where I need to cry out to him, and I know it. And it's such a blessing. And he said, and you shall return unto the Lord your God. So we've got a place here that when all else falls apart, the Lord says, call on me and I'll come get you. Isn't that wonderful? I know when my wife was younger, and she used to hang out with this girl, but she took off when she was 14 with two other girls, and they were hitchhiking to Florida in the spring. 14-year-old girls hitchhiking to Florida, the only thing they had was a bathing suit and lipstick. Gotta carry your lipstick, right? I mean, and just running away. But when they finally got to a place and they got saved at a pastor's house, so praise the Lord for that, but when they were there, they called the parents, and the parents came and got them. And it just reminded me of this picture, that when everything falls apart and we call out to the ones that love us the most, they come to get us, and they bring us back. And that's the Lord. So when all else falls apart, and he knew the people were going to go to that place, that we're going to go to that extreme. And isn't it terrible that God's people would go to an extreme of just being driven out completely from everything that they trusted, everything that they had, to a place where they had absolutely nothing. But then they found out they had the presence of the Lord, because he came to get them. And that's wonderful for believers, because every believer is going to go through that to one extent or another. Sometimes they go too far, and boy, they end up like Israel, just dispersed and just everything falling apart, everything taken away from them, and then they fall down and just surrender finally. And sometimes we need that to grow our faith, to have us come to a place of trusting the Lord, that no matter what happens, I can trust you, Lord, because I know you're going to come get me. And if I don't go away from you, I know that you're going to be with me, and I can trust you in that. but you can't trust them until you go through it to find out. And that's hard, but it's part of the process. It's part of the process that we go through to walk with Him. Some people don't have to go through that. Praise the Lord. But then there's the rest of us who just kind of sit there and go, oh, why wasn't I one of them? And He goes, because you're not them. You're somebody else, and I've got a place for you. It says this in Isaiah 46, verse 8. If I can find Isaiah here. 46, verse 8, it says, remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O you transgressors. Bring it to mind. Remember what the Lord has said. Remember what He's done. And isn't the book of Deuteronomy that place of remembrance? 14 times in the book we see remember, remember, remember. And it's good for us to remember where we've come from, but it's also good for us to remember where we're going to. Because where we've come from is not the end of us. It's where we're going to. For Christians, we have a future and a hope that's glorious. For the world, their end, they're afraid to come to their end. That's why it's so hard for them as they go through those things. But for those that have hope, we don't have to sorrow like the world does, because we've got a better hope. He says, remember and show yourselves to be men and women of God. Bring it to your mind so that you can then move on. He says, and you shall return to the Lord your God, in verse 2, and you shall obey. So that evidently the Lord knew in telling Moses this, that they were going to go, but then He was going to bring them back. You shall return to the Lord your God, and you shall obey His voice according to all that I command you this day, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul. And certainly that's part of the Shema back in Deuteronomy 6 that we see. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And just to remind yourself of that, and they say that every day. So when all else fails, remember that the Lord is still there. It tells us this in Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah talking, the Lord talking to Nehemiah, He says, but if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out to the uttermost part of heaven, yet I will gather them from thence. I've driven you to the uttermost parts. I can go that far and come and get you. How far will God go to get you? To the uttermost parts of heaven. That's how far He'll go to get you and to bring you back. That is so sweet. To the uttermost parts of heaven, yet I will gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. I'm going to bring them to the place where I am. And that is so sweet. That's just a great verse for us to keep as far as Christians, because where is God going to take us? It doesn't matter where He takes us. He's going to take us to that place where He is. We don't know where in heaven. We don't even know what heaven looks like. We just have little descriptions that just blow our minds because we can't comprehend it. But no matter where He takes us, if He's there, then we're in the perfect place, right? And it's the same now as the Lord leads us from fellowship to fellowship, or from place to place in our reading, or from home to home, state to state. The Lord is going to be there with us. And if He's there with us, that's the perfect place for us. We don't have to look for the money. We don't have to look for the job. And it really bothers me sometimes to hear people talking, well, I'm thinking of moving here and I'm thinking of moving there. Well, why? Well, I got a job offer. Oh, what'd the Lord tell you? Oh, I didn't talk to Him. Really? And you're moving and you want to move away from Him? for a couple more dollars an hour? It's just crazy, because the first concept that should come to our hearts and our minds is, Lord, where do You want me? And Lord, if You want me there, then that's where I want to go. That's where I want to be. It shouldn't be that my family's there, that the job is better, that the weather's better. There's no place that's good anymore. 28 states in heat advisories. Oklahoma, Texas, up to 115 in humid. It's a little warm. I'm glad it's just 80. 80 is a lot better than 115. That borders on touching, you know, just the flames of hell, I think. 115 is just a little bit too warm for me. Thanks, Patrick. So you shall obey his voice according to all that I command you. Turn to him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he says in verse 3, Then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon you. They were in captivity in that other place, and that's what happens if we walk away from the Lord and we go to another place. We're going to a place of captivity. We're never going to a place of freedom. We're always going to a place of captivity, because we're captive then to the job or to the family or to the thoughts that we had about where we're going, instead of the freedom of just being ministered to by the Lord. So he says, then the Lord your God will turn your captivity. So even when we leave the covenant, he says, I will return to you. There's an unconditional love that's involved in that. Because how many times did we, as kids to our parents, just completely ruin their days?
just once.
You must have been a good boy. I was almost weekly, I think. I don't know. You're just in that place, but it just shows his unconditional love, that not only will he come get us, but he loves us in bringing us back. And just how sweet that is, that the Lord your God will turn your captivity. He'll turn your captivity into freedom. And that's what the Lord wants to do for our hearts and our minds. Talking to one of the guys out at Macedon, where we are now, and the Lord showed him, he wasn't in a church, wasn't anywhere. He was just there, and the Lord, in a dream, showed him that he was in jail with dung all around him, and he was in the inside with the bars closed, and he couldn't get out. And he got saved. Just like, really? Why did I have to go through all my junk when you just had a dream? But it's just amazing how the Lord reaches people. And then he saw the door open up, and the Lord brought him out. Just like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And he's been in church ever since. What a great testimony. But the Lord is going to come and love you unconditionally, no matter what the filth is around you, no matter what filth you surrounded yourself with, that God can come in and rescue you and bring you back with that unconditional love. If any of you be driven out to the uttermost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee. Second time we see it in this chapter. I think he means it. And from thence, notice the words, he will fetch you. He's not going to just leave you there. He's going to come get you and drag you out, I think, if he has to. And sometimes some of us needed to be dragged out. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which your fathers possessed. He's going to come fetch you and bring you. And sometimes that can be a physical thing, certainly a spiritual thing. Sometimes it can be just an issue of the heart, of bitterness or anger or frustration, that he'll come and fetch us and deliver us from those things so that we can be free. Because really, we're in bondage when we have those things taking place, when we have anger issues, what the Lord has done. And we see folks that just get angry at God because he doesn't do things their way, and they get angry with him. They lose a loved one, and they get angry with God about it and just walk away from him. He's able to go fetch him. We can't do anything. We can't convince him. Because if I can convince you of something, somebody else is going to be able to unconvince you of it. When God convinces you, you're done. That's it. That's the bottom line. You're finished. That's why it's important to go to him with those things. Lord, I need deliverance from this. I need freedom from this because it's killing me. I see it eating away at me. We had one gal that we used to pray for constantly, always in trouble, always having stuff going on in her life, always depressed, always one thing after another, after another, after another. And after years of praying for her, found out she had some bitterness against the Lord for something. And once she realized that it was bitterness against him, she asked for forgiveness. And her whole countenance changed and everything got better. The Lord was just trying to reach her. I'm trying to get you. You just keep going deeper in your dung. What is wrong with you? Come on. The doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong. Neurosurgeons, specialists, all kinds of things. And they couldn't find out. God already knew. Just come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Isn't it amazing? The doctors don't give you rest. They just poke you and jab you.
Make keep you. All your money.
So I'm going to come fetch you, and I'm going to bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. It's a definite thing that's going to go on. It's not that you might possess it, you're going to. Once I bring you out, you're going to possess it. And he will do thee good. And doesn't God always do good?
Amen.
God is always good all the time, and all the time God is good. Remember that. If something bad is going on, it's not God. God is always good. And he will do good and multiply you above your fathers. And the Lord thy God, so that personal relationship that's going on there, will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. So the second time we see this going on too, about loving the Lord with all our heart and all our soul. Well, Lord, how do you do that? It tells us this in Jeremiah 32. It says, starting in verse 37, "Behold, I will gather them out of all countries." That's right where we are in Deuteronomy. "Whither I have driven them in mine anger." God is telling Jeremiah this. I'm going to go get them. And remember, they're taken into captivity. Why? Because they walked away from the Lord. They started idolatry. They kept it up and wouldn't come back to the Lord. So he drove them out so he could get their attention. "I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger and in my fury and a great wrath, and I will bring them again to this place and will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way." Isn't it wonderful? And the world keeps saying, oh, all roads lead to heaven. My Bible says we got one road. I'm glad there's only one, because I could get mixed up on a lot of roads. And they may fear me forever for the good of them. It's for their good and for their children. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good. And I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. And then he goes on in Ezekiel, another prophet. And he tells them this in Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 24. He says, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries," saying the same thing. You think we get it after a while, don't you? "Oh, Lord, and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols." The first thing he does for us is he cleans us up. Isn't that the first thing God did for you when you got saved? Cleaned you up. Cleaned your mind, cleaned your mouth, cleaned everything. "From all your idols I will cleanse you, and a new heart will I give you." Just like we're talking about in Deuteronomy. "A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh," that heart that you have to chip away at. And he says, I'm not going to transform you. I'm just going to take it out and replace it with something brand new. And it tells us what in 2 Corinthians? That we're new creatures in Christ. We're not transformed creatures. We're new. We can't transform ourselves. We have to become new. That's why he talks about putting new wine in new bottles. Because if you put it in the old ones, the fermenting process will just blow the bottle apart. because it's used and it's already contaminated, and it'll just blow it apart. That's why we have to become new, new in Him. We even get a new name when we get to heaven, written on a white stone. Faithful, lovely, precious. You know, what are the names God calls us? And it's not because we earned them. It's because that's what He thinks of us. And that's what He's instilled in us. A new heart. I'm going to take away that stony heart, that heart that's hard. I'm going to take that away, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And I'm going to put My Spirit within you and cause you to walk in My ways, and you shall keep My judgments and do them. Did you ever think when you were a kid that you were going to be sitting in a Bible study on a Thursday morning? I mean, come on.
We could be at the beach.
Anywhere but work and in church. new ways, new everything, and I will be your God. Yes, Cindy.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. I might not answer it, but you could ask all you want.
Well, talking about getting a new heart, mm-hmm. something that goes and transport, he just put it off the shield, and made me think of, He has transferred us or translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom
Kingdom of Light.
Is that kind of like the same idea as like, you said that made me think of it, like transferred you or translated you. It's almost like you're here, this is where you were, and now bingo, you're in my life. I'm in my ways, walk in my ways. Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah, and a lot of folks believe, and I don't know what I think of it, but there's parallel universes, there's parallel things that are going on, and once we get saved, we're just in the kingdom of God intimately and spiritually, just in a place. We're still here, but we're in His kingdom, and it's a whole different realm. We've got a whole new king and everything else, and it's just, it's wild.
Do you know what word is used the most, if you guys are using your King James? Transfer, translated, what, do you know?
I'm not sure.
He's
in the work. Amen. No, that's good. Thank you. So he says in Deuteronomy, then I'm going to circumcise your heart. I'm going to cut away the flesh, give you that new heart. I'm the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. And we can't do that with our own heart, with our old heart. We can only do it with a new heart that He's given us. That you may live. And the Lord your God will put all these curses upon your enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And you shall return and obey the voice of the Lord your God to do all the commandments which I command you this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of your hand, everything that you put your hand to. We saw it in the blessings and the curses. Remember, they're gonna, the Lord's gonna bless your house. He's gonna bless the fields. He's gonna bless the flocks that you have. He's gonna bless the kids that you have. He's gonna bless all these things in your life because He's in charge of all those things. And the fruit of it, the fruit of what we have with Him, is gonna show up around us, and we're gonna be able to see it. And the fruit of your land for good, for the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as He rejoiced over your fathers. He's going to rejoice over you, and He tells us in Zephaniah chapter 3 that He's going to rejoice over us with singing when we get home to heaven. He's going to sing to us. I always think of that song, you know, the birds hush their singing. I walked in the garden alone, and the birds hushed their singing because the Lord was singing, and even the birds wanted to listen to the sweetness of that voice. It's amazing. They know better, and we don't have a clue. They're doing what they're supposed to, and we're trying to change what we are into something else. It's just like, really? Lord, help. Help us to do what we're made to do and supposed to be doing. So if you shall hearken, in verse 10, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep His commandments and His statutes, which are written in this book. That's why we keep encouraging everybody, stay in the Word, keep looking at the Word, keep trusting the Word, Keep writing the word on the tables of your heart. If you hearken unto the voice and keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book, and if you turn to the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul, these things are going to happen. And these things are going to come to your life. And boy, you just almost realize more and more how much more we need Jesus. And how much still we're trusting in this flesh. Lord, I'm not there yet. He goes, I know. I'm just telling you. This is what can be. This is what can happen. This is what's going to happen as you progress with me, as you mature in your walk with the Lord. Did you ever notice your faith? When you first got saved, Jesus gave you the faith to believe, Galatians tells us. That it was his faith that he gave us so that we could even believe that he was God. But now we walk by faith. And so then as soon as we got saved, we started seeing everything that he was doing, all the things that were happening, and we realized it's you, Lord. But the longer you walked with him, you realize more and more that he doesn't do that as much anymore. You're walking by faith, not by the things that you see, but by the things that you trust, because you trust him. And isn't that wonderful that we can have that? We've got we did it with our kids, and now we're doing it with our grandkids. We've done it with them, and our youngest one is just starting to learn that we have a whistle, and we just whistle to them. And as soon as we whistle, their ears pay attention to it, and they just turn around and look at us. Yeah, you calling me? And it doesn't matter how far away they are, they can hear the whistle. And they just turn around. And it's sweet. It's just like, Lord, may I have that heart that when I hear you speak, I turn around and face you and quit walking away from you. Lord, do that in my life. Because I got so much of my flesh in the way that it clouds things and it plugs my ears and I can't hear you. And I need to hear you, Lord. If you shall hearken, you can't hearken unless your ears are open to his call. We need to have those ears that hear. For those that have ears to hear, the word tells us, especially in Revelation, you see it for the seven churches, right? And he says, for this commandment, which I command you this day, it's not hidden from you. So you can't say, God, I didn't know. And then you can't say, God, you never told me. And then you can't say, God, you hid it from me. So everything kind of comes back on us, doesn't it? It's not God's fault. It's us. Lord, I'm the one that's in the way. For this commandment which I command you this day, it's not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It's nigh unto you, Scripture tells us. It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. It isn't that far away. And it's amazing. It comes back up again in Scripture. Hold your place here. Go to the book of Romans in chapter 10. Because this is just so sweet. Oops. Wrong Roman. Romans chapter 10. Down in verse 5. It says... let's pick up at verse 4. Yeah. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For those that believe, Christ is the end of the law. It's the keeping of the law. It's the finishing, the completion of those things. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Isn't that just what we read? Paul is using it and just showing that it isn't the law that Moses was under, that Moses was giving out. This is the faith of Christ that we now have. And he says, faith is going to say, who's going to ascend to heaven and get it for us? Who's going to bring it to us? It's faith. Or who shall descend into the deep, in verse 7, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh unto you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's not on paper, it's written in your heart.
In your lips. So my translation, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Because out of the abundance of the heart.
Already, you have it already.
Yep. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's just so sweet. But that's what the Lord does. He shows us things in the Old Testament, brings them to a completion in the New Testament, and we realize it's the same book. It's the same God teaching it. It's alive.
Yeah.
It's a living word. And don't they call Jesus that? The living word. You hold in your hand something that's alive. I mean, it's not walking around, but it's alive. I mean, it just takes your heart and just goes ka-flump. And you just realize, Lord, you just took my heart and you just took the stone right out of it and just gave me the flesh of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're so sweet about that, Lord. The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you're going to be saved. You're going to be saved eternally, and you're also going to be saved from the things that are surrounding you. You can be saved from that bitterness. You can be saved from that anger. You can be saved from those lusts and desires. But you're saved unto him, not unto anything else. So back in Deuteronomy here, just so sweet that the Lord just brings these things to pass in other places, and that we just are able to read them and just to have them. In verse 15, he says, "This, see, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil." There's a choice. Isn't there always a choice? I can choose to be mad, or I can choose to praise. I can choose to get upset, or I can choose to be at peace. We have a choice. I can choose Jesus, or I can choose the enemy. Oh, and those choices are always before us. Lord, where am I? And what am I choosing? Am I choosing something that's life, that's going to bring life to me and fruit to my life? Or am I choosing something that's going to bring evil and destruction to my life? Oh. In some of those things, we can't always say that ministry, I'll just use that for an example, ministry is not always good. And I say that for a reason. Because sometimes God doesn't have a certain ministry for us, he has something else. But if we have a desire for something and we go for it, even though God is not in it, then we're walking against him. Even though ministry in and of itself is good, if God has got something else for us and we choose that, it's the wrong thing and it's not going to bear fruit. It's not going to bring fruit to it or to us. And so we need to be careful. Lord, what are my choices and what do you want me to do? Again, it comes back to, Lord, what's your will for my life? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. That's what I need to do. But Lord, in the midst of it, with all these choices that are here, Lord, where is it you want me to be? What is it you want me to be doing? How is it I'm supposed to do it? And it's always the same, Jesus. It always comes back to Jesus. And I'm so thankful he answers, and I'm so thankful he directs. I'm just thankful I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, and just thank you, Lord, that I can get out of here and be in heaven. It's just so wonderful. I've set before you. Isn't it sweet? The Lord gives us a choice. And a lot of people say that you can't choose to be saved, that God has already chosen for you. I don't agree with that. And this is one of the reasons why this verse, see, I've set before you. We have a choice in the matter. And he always gives us choices. We can choose Jesus or we can choose the enemy. We can choose this or we can choose that. There's choices that are involved in our life process. And so it can't be that God has already ordained for us to choose Jesus. Because then we wouldn't have to witness, we wouldn't have to do any of that stuff. There really would be no choice then. But he's given us a choice. We can have life or we can choose death. And it's sweet that the Lord would give us that choice. You can choose what you want. I'll be with you and I'll come get you and I'll come fetch you and I'll bring you back if you go the wrong direction. And I love that because we don't always go the right direction, do we? Or have the right motives or do the right things. But he's faithful to come fetch us and bring us back to center. And that's where we need to be. See, I've set before you. Verse 16, in that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. There's always an addition or a multiplication process when you're walking with the Lord. It's never subtraction. There's always adding to. There's always a bonus with it. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither you go to possess it. But if your heart turn away. Notice he doesn't say if your mind turns away. He doesn't say if your body turns away. He says your heart, because the heart is the center of the will. If the center of your will chooses to go a different direction, because that's always the place that we go first. It isn't our mind or our mouth that's speaking it. It's the heart that already speaks it. That's why if you listen closely to people when you're talking to them, you can tell pretty much where they're coming from and who they love and what they're about, because it comes out of their mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and they're going to speak it, and sooner or later they're going to speak where their heart really is. Yes. Not that we need to know. God already knows. I can't tell if anybody's saved, and I thank the Lord that he's the one. Because I don't have to make that process. I don't have to choose that choice. I don't have to look on things and say, you're not, you are. I just know what he's given us. And it's so sweet. I'm going to multiply you. But if your heart turn away so that you will not hear, if your heart turns away, you can't hear. And we did that with our parents, didn't we? We didn't choose what they wanted. And we couldn't, yeah. My kids do that. Can't hear you. I'm going to take your hand. the things we do. But you shall be drawn away. Notice you're going to be drawn away to lust. James talks about it. You're going to be drawn away. You're going to be enticed to the lust of your flesh or the pride of life. And you're going to worship other gods and you're going to serve them. He says, this is the natural course of things. And people say, well, I don't go to church anymore, but I'm not being drawn away. I'm not walking in the world. I'm not walking in my flesh. Well, if you're not walking with the Lord, there's only one other choice. You're walking in the wrong direction. So I denounce you this day that you shall surely perish. Or I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish. I show you that if you choose the wrong way, you're going to perish. You may not perish physically, but certainly spiritually. You're going to start dying spiritually. You're not going to remember that Jesus loves you. You're not going to remember not to do those things. You're not going to remember to walk in the right way. You shall surely perish. And that you shall not prolong your days upon the land. In other words, you're going to be driven out from the promised land into a land that you know not of. Whether you passed over the Jordan to go to possess it, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live, that you mayest love the Lord your God, and that you mayest obey his voice. Notice he's not saying, I command you anymore. He's saying, these are there in front of you so that you can. There's the choices again. That you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him. For he is your life. There is not life in any other name. There is not life in any other area but in Jesus. If you're not walking in Jesus, you don't have life. You may have decisions. You may prosper in some things. You may be able to get rid of anger. You may be able to get rid of alcohol, but you don't have real life. There's only one place that there's real life, and that's in Christ. And Moses is clear to show it to him. He is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to give them to him. You don't have to hold your place here. We'll finish up. Let's go back to Romans again. great book. Somebody should teach it one of these days. Oh, we did. Okay. Romans chapter 8. You guys know these verses. They're there. You know them. But it's always good to go over them to remember them. In Romans 8:28, and then we'll skip down to the end of the chapter, it says, And we know, do you know, that all things work together for the good? For whose good? For our good, if we're walking with the Lord. And we know, do you know it without a shadow of a doubt, that God is working everything in your life? The cancer, the disappointments, the frustrations, the stuff that's been taken away. Do you know He's working it for your good? It works together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called, those that are called by God and have answered that call according to His purposes. It's no longer our purposes, it's His. And then down in verse 38, Paul says this, "For I am persuaded." Evidently he had to be persuaded. He had to come to know this truth. And is your heart persuaded today that know that nothing can separate you from Jesus? Because what's the most common call of a Christian when trouble comes? Lord, where are you? Where are you? I can't find you. I can't hear you. I don't see anything in your word that you're speaking to me. I don't know anything that's going on. But do you know that you can't be separated from Him? Oh, that's a place of maturity of a Christian life. That's a place where people who walk with God are going to come to eventually, that they know that they know that they know that God is still with them, even in the midst of the hardest of times. There's a story of one of the old saints that was thrown in jail for his faith. And in his cell, which he became accustomed to after being there for a long time, that every cell block, every cinder block that was in his cell became a jewel from God. And he really didn't want to leave jail because he had all these jewels around. That's knowing that God is with you even in the hardest of places and in the worst of places. What did Paul and Silas do when they're in jail, after they got beaten? They start singing. Really? Lord, you got to give me a different voice if you want me to sing at midnight, because I'll drive people away. For I am persuaded. I've been persuaded. I have confidence is really the meaning of it. I have confidence in this, that neither death nor life. And do you know that when you die, you're going to heaven? Then you've already acquired this part of the verse. You already know that in your heart. Then why is it so hard for us then to hang on to the rest of it? Neither death nor life, even in life, God isn't going to leave me. Nor angels, those demonic angels that are transformed into angels of light that come and just want to take me away. The principalities of those things, the powers of those things, nor things present nor things to come. No demonic force can take you away from the love of God. Satan is strong. I don't mess with him. I don't want to mess with him because I know he'll whoop me. But I know one who's going to whoop him, he already has. He defeated everything.
It is finished.
It's finished. Oh, thank you, Lord. None of those things can take you away. They may shout at you. They may swear at you. They may talk to you. But they can't take you away from the love of God. Jesus is not going to let go of you. To me, that's just so wonderful because He holds us in the palm of His hands. And what's in the palm of his hand? The whole. The work that he finished. And it says that our names are engraved in his hand. And if our names are there, we're there.
And don't let anything take us out of his hand.
And he's not going to let you go. No matter how bad your life gets, he's not going to let you go. And Paul says, I'm persuaded. And there's a guy that could be persuaded. A day and a night in the deep, just doing the dog paddle, you know? It just wonder if he tried different strokes while he was just bobbing around in there. You just look, five times beaten with rods. I got beat with belts and sticks every once in a while, but rods, five different times, up to 40 stripes? I don't think so. His back had to be like hamburger. It just, I can't imagine the pain later on in life that those beatings would bring to a back. And yet he says, I'm persuaded that none of those things are going to take me away, that are going to take him away from me. Oh, that's maturity that just shouts to the world and says, you can't beat me because God has got me and he's holding me. How sweet. I'm persuaded. He had to come to that place of realizing it. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. The love of God is shown in Jesus Christ. It's in him that we live and move and have our being, Scripture tells us. And if we're in him, we're in his love. And you and I as Christians need to understand that love, need to sense that love, because that's something he wants us then to give out. It's not something we keep. It's something we give out, because the more we give out, the more he pours in. Because he never leaves us short. He's not going to give you the love that he has for you and have you pour it out and say, well, that's all you got for a lifetime. Too bad. He's going to keep filling you up, isn't he? And you're going to know, no matter what, Lord, you love me. What more can I ask for? The world can threaten us with heaven. Okay, I'll go. Kill me. Nothing can separate you. Isn't that sweet? Father, just thank you so much for your word, the truth of it, just for the joy of it, Lord, that we get to see these things. We get to be not just knowing the book of Genesis, Lord. You've given us the whole book. And we get to see the end from the beginning. We know what our end is going to be. We don't know all the details of it, but Lord, we know enough to know that we're kept and that we're in good hands. And it's not all state, Lord. It's better than anything the world can make up. Only your hands, Lord, are what we want to be in. So, Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We ask, Lord, that you would persuade us in those areas of our heart and our life that we don't trust you, that maybe we struggle with, that maybe we haven't even experienced yet that are going to come our way, that you're just starting to prepare us to get ready for those times so that we can say, I don't care what this disease is. Lord, you're not going to leave me. I don't care what this place is that people are going to put me into. You're going to be there with me. As you persuade us, as you teach us, Lord, may we be quick learners and quick keepers of what you say. We love you. We thank you. We ask for your blessing on the rest of our day, Lord. And thank you that you love us. We're unlovable, but you're full of love even for the unlovables. And we thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.